Hello, today is August 27th, 2023. I'm Todd Agasawar, and this is Movies Podcast 472. Today, we've got, as usual, the good Dr. John Westfall, and our good friend Jack Cook has joined us. Hey, Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. Well, I don't know about John, because you've got like a lot of heat. You got a heat dome, and you don't see any of that up where you are, right? Jack. Oh, go ahead, John.
Well, we actually had a little bit of a drop in heat this morning. We actually had a storm come through, so we're only at 88 right now, as opposed to 100 or so. So
yeah,
too hot. When the humidity goes up, I've really turned the air conditioner on. But when the humidity goes up, particularly last night, it was horrible.
Okay, so okay, Jack, I gotta know. So up there in the Great White Northeast, what do you guys consider hot? What temperature do you turn on the air conditioner?
At nighttime, if it's above 75, I turn it on. But you have to understand the humidity is the killer. It's not necessarily the temperature. When I went to bed last night, the upstairs thermostat showed that it was 77 degrees. But you can't breathe in it. You just can't. So yeah. I turn the air conditioning on the upper floor, and I get it down to like 68, and then I can sleep.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're talking to somebody who lives in a subtropical zone. So, you know, humidity and warmth are something that are just normal. Yeah. As I keep complaining to John and anybody who'll listen to me, you know, it drives me nuts to see people here wearing parkas when it's about 72 degrees. I don't want to go yell at them. You're going to get a heat stroke, you know.
Yeah, I don't put a jacket on until it's like 64 or 3.
There you go.
has to be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So, cool. Tell me about your neighboring island.
Yes. What would you like to know, Jack?
Well, I mean, I think the thing that bothers me more than anything else are these vultures.
Oh, the real estate vultures.
Buy property from these poor people that are suffering. They don't know what they're going to do. I just hope that the state says it isn't going to happen.
Yeah. That's what the governor said.
You know, yes, he did in theory say that. I have a niece who's it's my wife's niece.
Yeah.
But she's an architect, and she, during Katrina, she designed the Katrina homes.
Wow.
And they accepted all this. And they're nice, inexpensive, small homes.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, they'll get something like that or get something from Marianne Casado. She's actually, she teaches I'll think of it later on, but
sure.
And, you know, she teaches at a college, and she's been very successful as an architect. Just amazingly so. In fact, she just recently had a display of some of her homes on the mall in Washington D.C.
Wow,
we were so proud. So they were up for a week, and of course now they had to take them down, but.
Yeah,
she's very, very successful. But if you look at Katrina Holmes, you'll see some of the stuff that she's designed. She's just amazing.
Well, I think we are months, if not years, away from anything being done. I think they still have to do some, you know, toxic cleanup and things like that. And that's probably quite a time frame.
The sad thing is that now these people, they don't have a source of income.
Yes.
So. And this is one of those cases where I absolutely believe that the state should just take care of them.
Yeah.
You know, keep them going, and don't let all that years and years and generations go down the tubes.
Yeah.
You have to allow them to go back and rebuild, sort of maybe similar to what they had. I don't know, but it's just so.
Well, I guess fortunate may not be the word, but I guess maybe thankful is that the word to use, that there's been a really outpouring of support. I don't know if you saw Jeff Bezos donated $100 million. He really did. And so, you know, and then, of course, you know, just people like me, you know, donating what we can. And it's starting to add up. It's not the $5.5 billion that's needed, but you know, I think they'll get there somehow.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, man. So what are you guys doing for devices?
Well, I got a couple of things on the list. Not so much devices, but we can talk about that too. I wanted to mention a couple of things that Jack, I don't know if you've, I think John hasn't tried it either, but you know, Meta Threads, the Twitter competitor, it finally has a web interface, which makes it useful to a lot of us. You know, having it only on a mobile device was nice, but not ideal. And so they finally got a web interface like a couple of days ago. So threads.net. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. It's a less toxic environment than the other guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it could very well be that Twitter, as we once knew it, is gone.
It's gone. Yeah. It's had its own wildfire gone through it.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention, which is a much happier note, is that, you know, I've been lately, well, two things really, right? So thing number one is like a week or so ago, I noticed that Google Cloud Skills had made their generative AI course free. Normally it's $30 a month. And, you know, being a retiree, like you, Jack, being a retiree, but not as rich as you, being a poor retiree, I looked at it and I said, hey, free. I can afford free. And so I signed up for the free course and I've gone through like the first three intro sessions so far. It's been kind of fun. It's been kind of interesting to see how things have changed in 40 years since this is what I did in grad school. But at any rate, so after the first lesson, which I did like by hand, you know, like pen and ink and on paper, I said, nah, this isn't going to work. I can't read my handwriting. So I said, I need a note-taking app. And I used to use Evernote all the time. Gave up on it. Now, you know, now it's been sold. And John and I gave up using it like years ago. And I tried OneNote. Don't like one. I mean, I can live with OneNote. I've been using it for some things, but I really don't feel happy with it. And Google Keep is great, but it's just too simple. So I said, well, you know, everybody's been talking about Notion. So I tried Notion. Free version. I'm not paying a subscription, just a free version. And it's been pretty cool. And one of the things I learned recently, or I guess I knew about it, but I didn't actually try it, was Notion has what they call an AI component. Now, it's arguable if it's really AI, but, you know, that's what they call it. And so I tried it on one of the notes I took in Notion for, I think, lesson number three for the Google Cloud Skills thing. And it's got this thing called AI summary. And so I highlighted my entire note and I said, summarize all these fragments of sentences and bullet points and, you know, just things, right? I noted down. And boy, howdy, it did a pretty reasonable job of summarizing my, you know, my fragments of information. It writes much better than I do. I'll just give you the first couple sentences. This document introduces the concept of responsible AI, and highlights a need for AI principles. RAI involves understanding possible issues, limitations, or unintended consequences of AI and developing AI with ethics in mind. It actually writes better than me. I don't think my sentences would be quite as concise and coherent. But I'm impressed. You know, it took about 2.5 pages of notes for that one lesson. And compressed it down to a pretty decent summary. So folks out there looking for something to replace Evernote or OneNote or whatever, go take a look at Notion. The price is right, you know, free. That you do get more features if you subscribe, but this little AI thing and other features and syncing with multiple devices is all in the free subscription, like Evernote used to be. You know, and then Evernote made you subscribe if you wanted more than one device and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But
I used Evernote for quite a while, but I really am a OneNote person. Virtually anything that I need to say, I have it on OneNote, and it's worked out really well for me.
That's good.
On both my Android phone and on my computers, it's I'm just comfortable with it. Comfort is truly the reason why we do things.
Yeah, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But but I had something to fix, and so this was my fix. I'm pretty happy with it now, you know, having tried a whole bunch of other note-taking apps. Including Notability and a few things that are. And Notability's pretty good, but unfortunately, it's only available for iOS and Mac devices. Yeah, I don't think it's available for Android and definitely not for Windows. So, you know, I wanted something that'd run everywhere. And Notion runs everywhere, including a web interface, if there's not a native app for, like my Chromebook. The Android app doesn't work on my Chromebook. Well, it launches, but it doesn't really work well. So I just went to the web version, and it works fine. In fact, even the AI thing, I think I did in the web version. I don't think I did it in the... So pretty cool. Speaking of AI, so I have not taken a look at this, but The Verge reports that the media company that owns Macworld, PC World, Tech Advisor, and TechHive introduced an AI chatbot trained on their site's archive so you can ask it questions. You know, like questions that are related to... you know, their subject matter. So I just, that's pretty cool. So I'm going to go take a look at it.
It would be interesting to compare the accuracy of that with the chatbots that just we have been using for about a year now, ChatGPT and, you know, Bing AI and all that.
Yeah.
To know if training on, because there has been some observations that the more that people are interacting with these chatbots, the less accurate they're getting because they're learning from their interactions with people and people are introducing error into the models. So it'd be
people are dumb.
To see how, it'd be interesting to see how the how a specific chatbot works. You know, global versus specific corpus.
Well, it'll be interesting. You know, if somebody creates, for example, you know, the robots.txt, which prevents crawling of web crawlers. I wonder if there's going to be a chatbot.txt. You know, that prevents chatbot crawling eventually. And so it'll not only get dumber, but the domains will become narrower as, you know, more and more people with intellectual property say, no, no, not my intellectual property. I think Stephen King, the novelist, has come out. And well, he basically said that, you know, he's heard that that chatbots have been crawling his work. And he said, no, what they're producing is not very good. So.
One could argue that after a while, if you've read enough of his work, you realize it kind of gets repetitive and, you know, formulaic as well. So
he does like the same town. Yeah.
Yes.
I should note, I just finished 11/22/1963, which is an old novel of his. It's the only novel of Stephen King novel I've ever read, by the way, and it was quite good. But at any rate. So, yeah, there's that happening. I'm looking forward to trying that next time I have a tech question of some kind. And the other thing I'm really excited about, it's not available yet. I think it might be in like Office Insider Preview, is Python for Excel. And this is really cool because there is a new, you know, equals PY function that lets you embed Python code directly in a cell, which is wild. You know, this is way beyond what Google Workspaces has, where, you know, you got to get a, you got to be a developer, you got to get an API key, you got to do this, that, another thing, and stand on your head and twirl on twice before you can integrate Python to Google Sheets. So I'm really excited to see, even though I have really nothing in particular I need it for as a retiree, but I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, Python right in an Excel cell. That is unbelievable to me. And apparently Guido von Rossum, the creator of Python, is somehow involved and is giving it the, you know, technical blessing. So very, very cool stuff.
It's interesting. At our faculty development day at the beginning of school, I was, as a stretch thing to show off, I was showing how you could download things from our LMS using Python, using getting things out that are not easy to export through the web interface.
Yeah.
And I actually have people that are interested in that. And so when I saw this week, I thought, oh, can I... I'm working with academics. If they know Excel, that is really good. Python is, you know, way, way beyond their pay grade. So I thought, well, if I could, you know, say, paste this into an Excel formula or something like that. The problem is it runs in an Azure container that has a curated list of libraries. And the libraries I would need, it would not have.
Yeah.
So that is the one little caveat. And so while it will make things, I think, easier for people who already know Python and use Python, I don't think we'll bring Python to the masses anymore by integrating it into a tool that people know, which is a little bit sad. But you know, I could be wrong. There might be ways to learn Python through it, at least as a starter.
No, I think you're right. You think you need to know Python first before you can use it in Excel, especially since, like you said, it'll probably be a subset, not just the libraries, but, you know, we don't know what other limitations there might be. But that said, you know, that just having a language that is taught versus learned on your own, which I think much of, you know, the scripting stuff in Office has been over the years. I know there are classes, but, you know, there are, like, you know, university classes on Python and things like that. So people who got who have gotten formal training versus kind of, you know, 1 week training in a webinar or something. So yeah, very, very much looking forward to that. Have not tried it because I am not an Office insider. I almost signed up this morning and I said, nah, I haven't installed, I have an Office subscription. I've not installed it anywhere. I just use, you know, my 1 terabyte OneDrive and everything through the web, and I'm pretty happy. And iOS apps. Oh, and now my Android tablet has apps. So I don't actually use Microsoft apps on a desktop. Jack is probably going, what is he talking about?
I can't give it up. I will always use Microsoft.
Oh, I use it. I just don't install the native apps on my desktop anymore. I just haven't had the need to. It's really wild. I'll also put in the show notes a link to Google's quick start for Python in Google Sheets, and you'll see you'll see what I mean by saying it's really an involved process. This is not a equals py function by any stretch. And I guess the last thing I wanted to mention is before we get to Jack and answer his questions and ask him some questions is, so if you have $38,000 just kind of lying around and you want WordPress to secure your domain and your WordPress engine for 100 years, I don't expect to be around that long. Maybe John. But you can do it. You can turn over $38,000 to WordPress and they will set you up with a 100-year domain name registration and I think a WordPress instance. And it's pretty pricey. It's, you know, $380 a year.
It's not worth it, is it?
Well, you know, if you're Coca-Cola, it is, you know, and you expect to be around in 100 years. But I don't know about the rest of us.
Yeah,
I don't expect to be around in 100 years, and I don't think they're going to be around in 100 years. You know, that got me thinking about what in tech do either of us think is going to still be around in 100 years?
Yeah.
I mean, companies come and go, and the bigger they are, the harder they fall sometimes. So, you know, we can certainly think about some companies like Google and Apple and Microsoft still being around in 100 years.
Yeah, but maybe. Yeah.
Maybe, you know, and would they even be in the same form? Even if they were acquired and renamed, would they even have the same, you know, substance? You think about, you know, Bellcore, they're still around, but the POTS telephone network is not as vital as it was 100 years ago.
And I think Bellcore was bought by Alcatel, which is a French company.
Yeah. Yeah. So I find it an interesting cash grab. I find it a little bit of a scary cash grab that they're trying to do it because traditionally when companies have done this, it's not worked out. You think about the airlines that offered, you know, free flights for life and stuff like that. And then you see the articles about how much money they've lost over the years on that deal, because it turns out when people buy free flights for life, they use free flights for life. So I don't know, but we'll see.
But it's a good attention grabber, right, Jack?
It would be a long time before I'll get back on an airplane. The way things are going around here.
Oh, I'm with you.
Oh, it's just crazy.
Hey, I gave up my TSA pre.
I just tried the Threads app on my PC.
Yeah.
And I just made a post, and we'll see if it becomes a deal.
To you. Yeah, I need to subscribe to you or follow you, whatever it's called on there.
It should be, you know, Jack Cook, and then the Threads name is Neely's_dad.
Let me look for Jack Cook. Jack, I see it, and I'm already following you, so we're good.
Oh, good.
Make me the odd man out here. I still have not signed up for Threads.
Well, I figured I'd give it a try. I see Warner Crocker is on it, and the Patriots are on it. That's all. And I don't know who Tiffany Cross is. She's on it. Oh, and then my Jen Psaki is on it. So I like Jen Psaki.
All righty. So that's about all I had. So Jack, did you have questions for us?
No, not really. Other than, you know, what devices are you using? I've been using the Samsung They have a new one now. It's called the Fold 5, but
yeah,
I have the Fold 4. The price isn't really any different from what I paid for, you know, from iPhone versus the
really,
you know, the new phone. But
yeah,
I can't even think of buying a new phone. You know, I actually went to see what the trading value is. I could get a new one for about $700, but this is still worth a lot more than $700. But yeah. I love the fact that it's really at nighttime when I'm sitting in my chair and I don't have my Surface with me. This screen is just pretty awesome. I'm really happy with it a lot. Particularly, you know, just using it as a regular cell phone.
Yeah, yeah. Can see it.
But when I open it up, it's like a tablet, and it's just it's really wonderful. So anyone looking for a new phone, at the new Fold 5 is a little bit thinner, closes tighter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When mine closes, it's just a slight. You can't see it with the camera, but just.
Yeah, we can actually. Yep, just one small.
Perfectly flat.
Yeah.
So if I was in the market for getting a new one, I would get the new one. And you know, it's a terrific device. I've been on T-Mobile for a while, and I've been pretty happy with T-Mobile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I use all Microsoft apps. I don't use the standard Android, and it's just. It's almost like using a Windows phone. Almost. Almost. Boy, do I miss those Windows phone days.
I don't miss Windows phone. I miss Windows mobile, which I really like. But Windows phone was just not for me.
Really?
Yeah. I couldn't run any of my apps from Windows mobile. I mean, zero compatibility. And, you know, I couldn't bring over e-wallet and all the things. That's why I went to the iPhone, because I couldn't use e-wallet anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, my son and daughter-in-law, they both have their iPhone believers. But years ago, I bought an Apple device years ago, and a week after I had purchased it, they came out with a new one.
Yeah,
and I was ticked off.
Yeah, well, you got to keep up with the news cycle in Apple.
I said never again. I'll never buy another Apple device.
Well, you know, Apple, you know, does not. Apple telegraphs their new releases, so it's pretty. Like right now is a bad time to buy an iPhone 14, because that they're going to announce a 15 next month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway,
we have a new visitor. We have a new visitor. You better log him on.
Oh, he left. He
left. He didn't want to say anything.
He comes by very briefly and then decides to go. That particular visitor, Coconut, my cat, does not like to be on my lap for more than a minute or two at a time. So
yeah, that's all he'll tolerate, huh?
Pretty much. Maybe 5 minutes at the most.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, Sven Johansson bought a Pixel Fold, a Google Pixel Fold recently.
I saw that.
And he's very pleased with it.
Yeah, yeah. I've been meaning to chat with him about it. How he likes it.
I can't remember what he traded in. Oh, I remember he traded in a Pixel 7, which is a non-folding device, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think he said that I think he went through AT&T and they gave him like $800 trade in. So
really?
Yeah, so he got a pretty decent deal. So he got the Pixel Fold, which I think is $1,800. For about the price of a a standard iPhone or non-folding Android phone. So,
nice.
Yeah, he was pretty happy with that trade and the device. And both Sven and I bought the Pixel tablet earlier this year. You know, it was announced this spring and released this past summer. And, of course, the price just went down, now that I've had it for 2 months or whatever. But, but you know what? That's okay. That's, Jack. John, especially John, he's gone over market price for some things. We know what it's like to be an early adopter, right? You're not going to get the best deal, but you're just curious and you just want to know.
Over, back in the days of being an MVP, I used to get a new Windows phone every 3 months. it was just crazy. I had so many phones here. I finally looked to see if I could sell them.
Yeah.
You can't.
No, there's no resale value.
Zero.
Yeah, because they don't work on the, well, if it's a CDMA phone, it won't work at all.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a pre-LTE phone, it's useless. So, and I don't think any of them had LTE. But as historical objects, you know, I still have my, you know, ancient non-functional phones. I finally threw away the boxes, but I
Did you
kept the
really?
phones. Yeah. I'm going through Swedish death cleaning, and so I'm just trying to clean out everything, you know. And
Soon, soon you'll get rid of the old unusable phones.
I think that'll happen. Well, I need to go find an e-waste event so I can, you know, dispose of them safely. I did
Yeah.
that earlier this year with my desktop PCs and some old laptops. I took it to a local e-waste event that will, you know, safely dispose of them with their heavy metals
I
and
like the idea that you're deposing them, actually. That was a better
deposing.
near miss. Yes, deposing. Take them out of their leadership position and
Oh,
remove them from
they
you.
lost their
Yeah.
leadership position years ago.
Of course, there was a time when I'd get a new Surface every year or every other year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I have two Surface devices. They're each well over 6 or 7 or 8 years
Yeah.
old, and they still work fine. And
I
I
think
couldn't
I
get.
was with you at the Bellevue Microsoft store when you bought your first one.
Oh yeah, probably,
Yeah.
probably. Yeah, but I on one of them I could not put Windows 11 on it, and then a
Yeah.
good friend of mine sent me a way to do it.
Yeah.
Just a file. It fooled it that it when you ran it. It thought it was running Windows 10,
Right.
that it was installing Windows 10, but it installed Windows 11. And it works fine. I get all the updates, so it just saved me a lot of money. Which Jules will slowly learn that as the retirement years go by, it's a lot easier to save money now. I've been retired. I've been retired 21 years.
Wow.
I can't
Is that
believe it.
right?
Yeah, 21 years.
Wow, Jack. Wow.
Todd is speechless.
I
He's
know.
thinking about, he's barely a year into retirement, and
I've been
he's
retired
thinking,
8 months.
what am I going
Does
to do
that
for
count at
another
all?
20?
Well, it's that, it's that. I remember all of a sudden when my father retired, and all of a sudden he exceeded the number of years he worked with the years that he had been
Wow.
retired. And
Wow.
I've got another 15 more to go. But if I get another 15 in, then I've got more than a
Wow.
satisfactory return on my retirement.
No kidding. Yeah, my
Yeah.
dad was a triple dipper, so you know he retired a couple of times from the feds, but
Yeah, my father was too. He was a commander in the Navy, and then
yeah.
he worked for the federal government in Boston for years, and then he was an engineer. Then he went out to the Natick Labs,
Yeah.
so he ended up getting three different retirements,
Yeah. I know.
which
Something I
was
will
pretty
never
cool.
see. But one is sufficient in
Yeah.
this day and age. You know, one is something to be happy about.
Right. So John,
I was going to
how's
say,
school?
Jack, I was going to say, you need to be careful with your Windows 10, your unsupported PC that was upgraded to Windows 11, because Microsoft might be bricking those. So,
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But
yeah.
at that point in time, then
Time to
I'll
retire.
buy a new one. Yeah, I'll buy.
Yeah.
It's just like I have the laptop I have is a laptop where you press a button and the screen just pops off. So I
Yeah.
can use it as a tablet, or
Right.
then use it as
Right.
a laptop. And they don't make it anymore. And
Yeah.
it's really a shame.
Yeah, well, I had three or four Surface Pro 4s because every single one of them failed.
Really?
Yeah. And the last one, you know, like exploded or whatever, you know, the battery just did that bloat thing and it died. I just said, no more Microsoft Surfaces for me. Get me some other brand. And so they got me a Lenovo or something, which lasted me until I retired, you know, 2 or 3. So that was a very stable device compared to my Surfaces, which died every, you know, 11 to 14.
Boy, I use my hours every single day, both
No.
of them.
No. Surface board failure, Surface board failure, solid state drive failure, and then battery exploded. I mean, not boom, but you know, expanded.
Swelling, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, you know, ruined the source system board too.
John, what are you using?
So I am mostly in the Apple ecosystem, just because it's where I lighted after jumping around to various things. So I probably, let's see, an iPhone 13, which I have no plans to upgrade this year because I don't think there's going to be compelling enough until maybe the 16 or 17 for me. I am an Apple Watch user. I do think I'll be upgrading that this year because I think my Series 6, I know the maximum battery capacity is at 80% right now, so it's dying a little bit too quicker than I want it to. I use an iPad Pro at work pretty much in every class I'm in because I take attendance on it. Mm-hmm. I have my notes up on it. And it uses, I use OneNote with it. That's kind of my primary note-taking app. And then a MacBook Pro that goes with me to work every day that is my primary work computer. And I have an iPad mini that I use for reading at home.
Yeah.
And I've been really tempted by the Android ecosystem. I'm actually really tempted by the Folds and the Flips of the world, but I still have a lot of worries about the longevity of them. With us, you know, we just talked about how we used to get new devices every 3 months, every 6 months, every year, and then now it's every 2 or 3 years. And I just worry those screens, the build quality on them, how will it hold up 4 years, 3-4 years without showing cracks or without showing defect?
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you that my Fold 4, it's been over a year now that I've had it. No issues at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did learn how to finally set all the settings so that it really preserves the battery power. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I go all day long, and I don't have any trouble at all. It's just it's the Samsung device is a solid device.
Yeah.
It's a temptation. What I need to get is I need either a trusted third-party broker for health and fitness data. So that, remember, we used to have Microsoft Health and stuff like that, where it wasn't Apple or Google or Apple or Fitbit. But with, you know, using my Apple Watch, it's really the only thing that keeps me on an Apple Watch and not trying other smartwatches is that I have all my health data, more or less in Apple Health. And if other things could talk to it, I would be interested in trying those out.
I use the Samsung Health because really the only thing I do now is I try to get some walking in, particularly with my failed knee replacement. Samsung Health does a really accurate job of keeping track of my steps and how far I've gone in miles.
Is that only using your phone to track your steps, or do you use a...
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
It's slick. I mean, like, not... lately, I've been having a lot of trouble with my knee.
Yeah.
So I used to walk 2.6 miles every day, twice a day. Today, I've only gone 1,100 steps because my knee was just killing me, and I couldn't make it more than a half a mile. But after sitting for a while chatting with you guys, I'll try to go for another half a mile walking.
Yeah, well, don't strain your knee. I mean, especially since it's a replacement, right? Or
it's what I call a failed replacement. It's more pain in it now than I ever had before. But I switched doctors, This new doctor seems pretty solid.
That's good.
When I first met with her, she reminded me of me when I was a teacher. I said, everything you're going to do is step by step by step.
That's good.
That's what a math teacher does. And she said, we will solve this. She pointed her finger at me. She says, we will solve this. We will go step by step by step. So far, you know, there's been slight improvement, but not...
That's good.
You know, one thing improves and something else... I've become sensitive to. But, you know, I'm working towards it.
Yeah.
Gives me something to do. Go to the doctor.
Oh, no. You know? Yeah, I know what you mean, unfortunately. Getting old sucks, John. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, but I still say I like it versus the alternative.
Well this is true.
This is something to be said for that. Yeah. And, you know, you might live another 100 years, so you might want to spend that $38,000 on WordPress.
You know, it's funny. I have I'm teaching stats this semester, and this weekend they have a homework assignment where they have to look at a data set that is crime data from Los Angeles. And one of the columns is age. And one of the, I said, what's the oldest victim in the database? And there is someone listed at the database, and I'm pretty sure this is a typo, at 120.
Wow.
Because if they are, then I feel real bad for them. But that data is a little suspect because it goes 120, and then if you sort descending, 120, and then 99.
Yeah.
So apparently, if you're between 101 and 119, you're okay. No
you're
one's
crime
get
free.
You.
So probably 102, which is still amazing.
Then you look at the 99s, and I'm pretty sure that they're miscoded as well. You know, people, police officers just typing in 99 just to get the, the screen to go away. Yeah. Because there's something like 350 99-year-olds.
Wow.
And then you go to 98, and it drops to 50, and then you go to 97, it drops to 50. So either, again, 99 was a good placeholder data value, or you become like five times more likely to be a victim of crime when you go from 98 to 99.
Was this in Los Angeles, you said?
Yes.
Well, look at Bob Baca. He just passed away. He was 99.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe it is 99. It's just a bad year for people to be victims of crime and to pass away, so... But yeah, I it's interesting. You know, it's their second week of the semester, so they're still learning about data is not always as accurate as it looks, even though it looks like it should be accurate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'm looking up the data to see if Los Angeles County has that kind of information. And their epidemiology group has a pretty nice paper, but I haven't looked through it yet. I just brought it up. I was going to say, you know, speaking of good data, you know, when after the Lahaina wildfires, we looked at those missing people numbers, which I think at one point was, I want to say it was about 1,200 or 1,400 missing people. And after they cleaned up the data, I think it dropped to 380. So, you know, good data is everything. And, you know, so when people look askew at IT people who are somewhat rigid about getting clean data, there is value to clean data, lots and lots of value. You know,
well, I just did a life expectancy in Massachusetts, and they say it's 80.6.
Yeah,
I go by my parents. My father was 86 years old when he passed away, so I'm only assuming that I'll go that far.
Well, I'm not assuming that anymore. In Hawaii, it's what does it say about Hawaii? We have the highest life expectancy in the U.S. 80.7. Of course, it doesn't break it down by gender. I'm sure if you break it down by gender, men is like, 70 and women are like, 105 or something.
Yeah.
But
Hawaii, the thing I'm looking at here says life expectancy in Hawaii is 82.3.
We're looking at something different. Okay. But, and John, bad news. Mississippi has the lowest life expectancy in the U.S.
I'm not surprised. Have you tasted how good the fried food is down here? I mean, you might not last long, but you'll enjoy
the
catfish and the chicken and okra and everything else we fry.
There is something to be said about enjoying life.
Oh, yeah. You can fry okra. All you got to do is cut it up and basically all I do with it is just wet it down a little bit and roll it in cornmeal and then add some salt and pepper. Pop it in like with vegetable oil.
It's like a hush puppy.
Wow.
Yeah. Fried okra. Very good.
Yeah. Well, you know, John, they've got fried ice cream, so there's nothing you can't fry.
Oh yeah, yeah. We can fry anything.
And it's good.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's the day at our cafeteria that is the longest lines are fried chicken Wednesdays because every Wednesday at lunch it's fried chicken, and I don't miss one. I should, but I don't miss one.
I love fried chicken.
Me too.
I really do.
Me too.
Yeah. I told everyone, people go, well, you lost all the weight. You still eat that. I said, yeah, that's why I lost the weight, so I could eat it longer and, and have more years to enjoy the fried chicken.
There you go. If you ever have a chance, John, try some Korean fried chicken. You will go, wow, what have I been missing in life?
I might have had that. We had a couple of Korean restaurants near us in New York when I was working in Manhattan.
Yeah.
So I did get some very good Korean cuisine when I was there. But I'll take fried chicken in any way, shape, or form. Right. I've had
any
bad
ethnicity's
fried chicken.
Fried chicken
and it is
good.
Bad, but it's not as bad as like health food sometimes. So
years ago, when I drove down to Disney World with my son and wife. We were it might have been Georgia. I don't know where we were. We stopped at a restaurant. We stopped at a motel, and across the street was this restaurant. They had the absolutely best southern fried chicken that I've ever had in my life. I've never been anywhere to get a duplicate of it. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Well, the fun thing that we say in the South, I've been here 10 years now, so I can kind of notice it as a recurring trend, is that the best fried chicken in the town will be at your favorite chain fried chicken or, you know, your favorite restaurant. Mm-hmm. But the second best fried chicken will be at the gas station.
Really? Interesting.
Pretty much every gas station down here serves, you know, they have a quick serve area and they serve fried chicken. So Dodge's is a popular chain of gas stations down here. Their fried chicken is very good. Yeah, so the second best fried chicken in town will always be at a gas station. It might be a different gas station, but
I just want to note to people who may be confused that we have switched from Mobile Views to Fried Chicken Views.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway.
Well, listen, I hate to do this. I know you guys will continue, but I just got a little note passed to me that it's time for me to get the grill ready.
Oh, well, you can't mess around with that timing. No, no. Hey, Jack, it is always great to see and hear you. You know, we'll have you back on again.
Looking forward to it. Hopefully I'll have a new device to brag about.
Well, you don't have to have a new device. I mean, you know, we can talk about fried chicken or whatever.
Yeah.
I like fried chicken.
Well, hopefully the listeners might have mouth-watering desires now for some nice Kentucky Fried Chicken.
You know, they're all closed in Hawaii. Yeah. I don't know if there's any left.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple up here. They're very good. Yeah. They really are very good. So,
all right, Jack. Popeyes,
I hate to do this, but
yeah,
I'm going to bid you adieu. Care.
Okay, Jack
Thank
Cook.
You.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Alrighty.
If I can figure this out now.
I think I can drop you from here, Jack.
All right. See you guys. Bye-bye.
All righty.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. There he goes. And we're almost done anyway, John. So, but yeah, Fried Chicken Views. Hey, you know, that might be more popular than Mobile Views.
You know, it's funny. I could probably – I have a lot of strong opinions about food and fried chicken and other foods. And so yeah. I could probably assist in creating that. But yeah, it is well known in the South that the local gas station will have good fried chicken. Here's actually your other Southern food hack.
Okay.
Chicken and waffles is a very popular dish down here. If you ever need to make it in a rush,
right,
and you're in the South, go to the grocery store and buy yourself some Eggo waffles.
Yeah.
You know, the mini ones work well. Then go to the local gas station and get some fried chicken strips.
And just
put one on top, cook the waffle, put one on, with the chicken strip on top and throw a skewer through it. You've got little chicken and waffle appetizers.
Right. So the gas stations just warm up these chicken products, or they actually cook them there?
They have deep fryers.
Wow.
So they just
In the gas station near gasoline.
Of course. I mean, let me see if I can find the menu for like I said, there's a couple of chains around us. Dodge's Southern is the one that I see the most in my area.
Right.
So let me tell you what they're. Oh boy, if you want to be amazed at what a gas station can get you, I'll just send you the menu. But yeah, chicken daily specials, wings, strips, whatever you want.
Wow.
Chicken of all sorts.
Wow, that is
fried pies, the fried apple pies. So if you like the old McDonald's apple pies when they used to fry
them
instead of baking them, yeah, you just have to come down to the South. We'll fry anything for you.
Yeah, there you go. Well, actually, in Asian society, you know, a lot of our stuff is fried also, or you know, at least stir fried. But also a lot of deep fried stuff. We like our deep fried stuff. But at any rate, I'm looking at the meeting chat, and you have sent me something. Wow, that looks good.
this is bad. You might decide to come visit me now just to go to one of these.
I like the chicken and a biscuit thing, whatever that is.
Oh yeah,
and is that corn dog a chicken and a corn dog thing?
It probably is. I mean, if it can be fried up and made, sure.
Wow. Whoa, this is quite an ex wow, this is a gas station? That's quite an
Yeah.
extensive list of food choices. I mean, it's all chicken mostly, but still.
Which is why it's interesting to me when people, we talked about Buc-ee's, the chain out of Texas that has been
Yeah.
expanding, that of course their claim is they're so big, literally, 120 gas pumps and stuff like that. But people talk about, well, they have all this food and it's good food. And I'm thinking, yeah, but anywhere in the South, the gas stations have a pretty, a good amount of food in them. So this whole idea of a gas station with just kind of quick grab and go deli stuff like you get in the north, it's not that common in the south. You get more full service. Of course, northern gas stations are starting to step up their game. There's a few chains up north that also do a lot of stuff. And of course, if you are on the interstate and you go to truck stops like my wife and I do when we're traveling long distances, you can get pretty much anything you want there too. So
Wow.
it's a food world that is much different than 20 years ago when you were traveling.
Yes, for sure. All right. Well, and on that, we will shut down Food Views. This has
Yes,
been,
food reviews.
yes, this has been Food Views 472. Jack left us a few minutes ago, but want to thank our old friend Jack Cook, and we will talk to you next time.